someone, I don't know who.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and let's go back to Bill O'Reilly and his attempt to portray George W. Bush as the friend of the poor and his attacks on Bill Clinton and the factual errors that he makes while trying to do this.
Under President Clinton, the tax rate climbed higher than at any time in history excepting World War II.
Oops, that is a blatant, I won't call it a lie, Bill O'Reilly could simply be ignorant. But anybody that knows anything about history and taxes knows that the tax rate of 39.5%, which is what Clinton raised it to in the 93 tax bill, that everybody said, this will ruin the economy, and in fact, it got us on the road to getting rid of the deficit and running a surplus, 39% is nowhere near the highest. When Reagan was in office, the tax rate for the highest earners was 50%. In the mid-70s, it was 60%. In the mid-60s, it was 53%. And in the mid-50s, it was 59%. Well above the 39.5% is the highest, which is the highest that it ever was during the Clinton years. So O'Reilly is just wrong on that one.
President Bush then came in and cut taxes for everyone. And guess what? Federal tax revenues will be more this year than at any time during the Clinton administration.
Well, technically, he may be right about that, but there's something to keep in mind, and that is that we always correct these things for inflation. For example, to compare tax rates, to compare total taxes, is a bit misleading. It's kind of like the elections. You know, in 2000, when Bush got in, but people said, well, he didn't really win. People like Rush Limbaugh said, he received more votes than any president in history. Well, that's true. The population is larger and more people voted. The thing they don't tell you is that he received more than any president in history, but Al Gore got another 500,000 above him because everybody got more because there were more people voting. So those are not great measures. You know, by that measure, Tiger Woods is twice the golfer that Jack Nicklaus ever was because he earns twice as much. Well, the purses were smaller when Nicklaus was playing in his heyday. And so to compare total earnings for a golfer, even, you know, the 50th best golfer on the circuit may make more this year than Jack Nicklaus made in some of his best years. That's just the nature of inflation and the nature of the changing economy. So we make adjustments so you can compare across eras. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics has what it calls an inflation calculator. And when you correct for inflation, this raw tax number that's coming, we expect to come in this year, that will exceed the last year of tax receipts under Clinton. When you move it to correct for inflation, it's actually lower than that. Now, I won't be too hard on him because technically he's right. And I don't know if he's being intentionally deceptive there or not.
Now here's the kicker. You ready for the kicker?
Oh, I'm ready for the kicker, Bill.
This is estimated tax, federal tax receipts, 2005 this year. The highest in history. The highest in history. This year, 2005, the federal government will receive more tax dollars than any other time in history. Got it?
$2 trillion.
I can't even read the number. It's so high. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Now, by percentage, it's 19% of income for all Americans. 19%. That's the average. Under Clinton, he got it up to 23%. Clinton was, remember, under Clinton, taxes rose.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop there. I knew when I heard him say 23% the first time that that had to be wrong. So I looked this up. Clinton was never up to 23%. So tax rates in this country have moved, since the income tax came in, have moved from, and there's I have a blog item back in, I don't know, April or May, that details this in detail, because I did a lookup of all this information. And they've moved from between about 15% of gross national product up to maybe 21, 22% at their height, like World War II, that kind of thing. During Clinton's years, they they shuffled from between, I don't know, I'll say 18.5 to about 19.5 or 19.9 or something. Okay, but I don't believe they ever went over 20% during the Clinton years. They certainly didn't go up to 23%. Do you have any idea how much money that would be? Because we're talking about a trillion, multi-trillion, like a $9 trillion economy. So the amount of tax you talk then ends up being huge, you know, 20, roughly 20% of that. Back to his number. So Bill was looking at a number that he couldn't tell how big it was. Okay, so let me help him out. He was looking at $2,142,000,000,000. No, that. Oh, I'm sorry. That can't. What is this? It says it's in millions, but that can't mean you add six zeros. This chart I've got is actually wrong. That can't be millions. It's got to be $2,142,000,000,000, not quadrillion. Can't be that. So $2 trillion in estimated taxes. Okay. Let's let Bill finish.
Faster than any other time except World War II.
So he says taxes went up faster than any other time than World War II. Well, the problem with that is Bill Clinton only had one tax increase, and that was 1993. So what O'Reilly has to be talking about here is that as the economy grew in the 90s, and it grew wildly, as we know, that's how we ended up with a tech bubble, the total federal dollars taken in grew. So when he says taxes grew, he means, I believe, he must be looking at a chart that shows how much the money we took in went up. What's interesting is he's blaming Clinton when revenues go up because the economy's getting better, but when Bush has the highest number of all on taxes, he's patting him on the back and saying, see, that's a good thing. So he's a bizarre fellow in terms of his arguments. But I've come to expect that from O'Reilly. It's part of why I finally concluded he's a bona fide 20%er.
Clinton raised taxes every single year.
Wrong again, Bill. Clinton did not raise taxes every single year. Clinton raised taxes once in 1993. Not one Republican signed on to the plan. They said it would ruin the economy. And we know what happened. It did the opposite of ruin the economy. We started running surpluses. When you look at the deficit, I'm sorry, total national debt, no, a deficit across time, we were running a deficit, and it was going up slightly all through up to the 80s, up to through the 70s and up to Carter. And Carter got it up to like $70 billion, and Reagan was outraged at a $70 billion deficit per year, and he vowed to do something about it. Well, by the time he got up, $70 billion looked good. And he got it up to like $200 to $280 billion per year deficits. It was a little less than that for him, but then during the Bush years, it went up that high. And then Clinton came in, and with this first set of tax increases, started and a good economy, he got lucky, started bringing the deficits down to the point we started running the surplus. Then we turned it over to George W. Bush, and he says, "I like Reagan's idea: cut taxes and hope."
But tax receipts under Bush are more than Clinton. More. Why? Because the economy is expanding.
So during the debates, when Lloyd Bentsen was debating Dan Quayle, his famous line, "You're no Jack Kennedy," stole the show. But I like a line that he used, which was, "Hey, if you let me write $200 billion of hot checks a year, I can have a good economy too." And what he was saying was, you can say the economy is good and the tax cuts are doing their job, but Reagan was running the $200 billion deficit at that point. That, by definition, should give you a good economy. You're spending money and charging it to your grandchildren. So that's what we're doing today. We're running $400 billion deficits today. The tax cuts should have given us an economy, but the question is it enough that it's worth it? And only time will tell, but the verdict is still out. And Bill O'Reilly, of course, being a 20%er, is sure that the verdict is in.
And more corporations and individuals pay tax.
So let me go on to his last comment, which is quite bizarre. He gets back to the history of the income tax and why we have it and why we're redistributing all this wealth. He's convinced it's a commie plot. And so he ties it to the Bolsheviks. And the Marxists and the Soviet Revolution, not to mention the socialists and communists in Europe.
And more corporations and individuals pay tax.
Oops, wrong cut.
Remember, if you're a citizen of Great Britain, you are a British subject. You're not a citizen. You're a subject. Here, you're a United States citizen. So the Founding Fathers clearly didn't want any imposition of religion, and they didn't want the government to come to your house and take your stuff and give it to someone else. It was absolutely in stone clear that capitalism was going to rule the day. Rule the day. If you made it, you keep it. And remember, there wasn't a federal income tax until the turn of the 20th century.
Oops, that's another mistake. There was a federal income tax during the Civil War. He was repealed 10 years later. And then Congress passed it again in, I think it was 1893, but the Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional. So they had to go after an amendment. And in fact, we passed the amendment about 1913 that gave us the federal income tax. But O'Reilly looks at it and says, 1913, the communists had their revolution in Russia in 1917. There must be a connection here. Income tax must be a communist plot. That's the thinking of a 20 percenter.
You made it, you kept it. No government intrusion. Andrew Jackson didn't even want a bank, a central bank. So what's happened in the country? Well, what's happened was that with the rise of communism in the 20s, Karl Marx and all these people and the Soviet Union, and a lot of people got onto the socialistic bandwagon. They're still there. Western Europe is a socialist area now. That's why Schroeder got booted out.
So I don't know where to start here. So it's true that the economies of Western Europe are not 100% capitalist. But in recent years, even the European democracies have privatized their telecommunications and privatized segments that used to be government controlled. That is the opposite of socialism. They do have large entitlement plans, which is Bill is trying to explain to us in a minute. But the idea that Schroeder was thrown out because this is a move against this stuff. No, Schroeder was thrown out for a variety of complex reasons that we're not going to go into here. And in fact, he hasn't even been thrown out yet. There was no clear winner in the German elections this week. But O'Reilly has made his conclusion, and like a good right-wing talk show host, he now will marshal the evidence to support it.
They cannot grow the economy with all the pensions and entitlements they pay. They can't grow it. Not enough money coming in.
So that's about all I can take of Bill O'Reilly. I'm going to close this segment with a song I want to dedicate to Bill.
Are you an extremist?
There's a man who leads a life of anger, and every day he gets a little stranger. With every word he speaks, he yells, he whines, he shrieks. Odds are he won't understand tomorrow. Right-wing talk show host, ignorant talk show host, they're giving you a time slot and taking away